Let's face it, talking openly about your sexuality is a challenge. People find it difficult in everyday situations, let alone with a cancer diagnosis. So what strategies are there for making communication easier? How do you bring up sexual issues with your doctor, for example? Meg Plaster is a cancer nurse coordinator and regularly helps people untie their tongues.
Ideally, the doctors and nurses that patients come into contact with would have raised some of these issues either prior to treatment, during treatment or after treatment. But the likelihood is, and the reality is, that it doesn't happen very often. And there are many reasons for that, you know, including busy clinics and lack of confidential spaces to discuss these things, but also some discomfort with, you know, the clinical staff that they may be involved with in how to raise these issues. I think some of the most useful things for patients and partners of patients to think about are who do I trust to get some of this information from, and who do I trust to ask some of these questions? It may or may not be that that person has those answers, but finding the person that they feel comfortable with first off to raise the discussion with and actually open the discussion. And usually once it's opened, it is much easier then for clinicians, and more likely that the clinicians or nurses will then pursue it and take up the baton, I guess, in making sure that answers are found. But some of the other important things, I think, are having thought about how you might ask what you want to ask. Often in situations where patients feel uncomfortable and awkward, things come out clumsily and they almost wish they hadn't asked. So maybe having a thought about, well, what is it that I'm going to actually ask? And maybe some of the answers to difficult questions may come from that discussion. So thinking about things like even just asking somebody that they trust, who can I talk to about issues if I'm having problems with sex? So just something as broad and simple as that will often open the discussion up. The other thing, particularly with younger patients that I deal with, they may feel very uncomfortable saying these things out loud. And so offering people suggestions about other strategies, like writing their questions down, and maybe writing their questions down in a list of other more generic questions about whether or not they can play sport or whether or not they need to avoid particular activities, and then cloaking that in there with, you know, am I allowed to have sex, or should I have any problems if I have sex? You can ask those theoretical questions and open the discussion up. Sometimes if it's written down, it's easier for people to hand over a piece of paper to their doctor or nurse and have those questions there before them. And I often encourage people to email me or even talk to me over the phone with young patients. I'll sometimes suggest that they send me a text message about things if they want more information about them. And so sometimes that slightly removed, less face-to-face method can make people feel a little bit more comfortable raising things, or having somebody else ask the question for them. It's often easier to ask a question for a friend or a partner than it is about yourself if it's something personal and something that you feel embarrassed about. But I think it is really important to raise those questions, and unfortunately it may not be something that is raised routinely by their medical or nursing staff. But for some people that can actually be quite useful, because they get to ask it when they're prepared for it. They've thought about what they want to know. They've thought about what the issues are for them. And so they're not caught off guard by an uncomfortable question that they don't really know how to answer. And they can choose the time and the place, and most importantly, the person that they feel comfortable getting the answers from.
And by the sounds of it, you don't necessarily have to talk to a sexologist or a specialist in the field, do you?
Definitely not. The majority of people's questions and queries and concerns will be just about how they manage changes in their sexual desire, their sexual performance, how they factor in some of the other side effects from their treatment into their normal daily life and their relations with either a partner or other people. So many of those things can be answered either by a nurse or a doctor or somebody that they encounter and trust and have a good rapport with. It's usually only those people who have specific treatments that specifically affect their sexual performance or their genital organs that may need more involved treatment or advice from a sexologist. But even having some of those discussions can start to pull that apart, and opening those discussions up can then allow the person that they raise it with to explore what other more professional help they might need. But in most cases, they won't need much.
And obviously it must be really reassuring when you find out that this is normal and that it does happen to other people as well. There's nothing really to worry about.
Very much so, and I think there are very few situations, even in the likes of support groups, that even hearing from other people their experiences that their sexual desire or their sexual function will return, or even that it may be different forever, but they will find new ways to feel sexually satisfied and intimate and maintain all of the other important aspects of their sexuality. But there are not very many situations that people can be reassured about that. So it is often necessary that they're going to need to ask some of those questions. But more often than not, people will find that they're able to be reassured that things will return, if not to exactly how it was before, something that is still very satisfying and can still retain their sense of who they are as sexual people.